I find, I started this practice for myself a few years ago, and the first 5 breaths, I was in resistance of even doing the activity, but the fact that I was committed got me to complete the next 5. And it's in those next 5 breaths that I was able to actually relax and release and come out of that feeling more centered and more grounded. And when I take people through this activity in my practice, they open their eyes and they realize that something has changed.
This is the Entrepology Podcast, the podcast where we optimize the bodies, brains, and lifestyles of entrepreneurs, go-getters, and world-changing innovators.
Welcome to the Entrepology Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Megan Walker. As a naturopathic doctor and anthropologist, I optimize the health and performance of badass women working to change the world as entrepreneurs and go-getters. You know, people exactly like you. Your business, body, balance, and inner badass, these are the themes we are exploring. So here's the challenge in the day-to-day life of an entrepreneur. They get that they should be doing breath work and yoga and eating whole foods, but the reality is they feel super busy. They've got clearly articulated goals on that business side, and making the leap between the lifestyle balance piece and the execution and desire to hit those goals with respect to one's career are often a very difficult chasm to leap across. My guest today, Selena Rose, is a nutritionist and integrative holistic health coach and a yoga instructor. And what's so cool about Selena's approach to health is that she's really been able to break it down into a framework that is easy and readily accessible for people who are on the go. Selena had all sorts of tangible tips and really acknowledged that there is a leap that needs to take place between living the life as an entrepreneur and being able to find that semblance of balance. There are seasons to how we achieve it, and there are techniques that we can incorporate into our life. And I am so excited to be able to share with you some of Selena's tactics to make that happen for you. It is my pleasure to introduce you to Selena Rose. Selena Rose, welcome to the Entrepology Podcast.
Hi, Megan. Thanks for having me.
Well, this is going to be a really great time because what I am so looking forward to is chatting with someone who is also on a mission to help busy, driven individuals calm down, eat better, level up their life. Selena, can you give everyone a background? Who are you? What do you do? And how did you get here in 60 seconds or less?
Sure. So I am a holistic nutritionist, an integrative nutrition health coach, and a yoga teacher. So those are my kind of fancy credentials. But how I really got here was having a lot of struggles with my health. I've always been ambitious and taken on a lot and got into a place where my eating wasn't up to par, and I ended up with an eating disorder. And through that time, I thought that, you know, putting my ambitious endeavors and my work and my schooling ahead of my own personal self-care was the way to go. I think I was prey to our culture in a way. I took on those ideas that, you know, doing more is always better. So that's how I grew up. And then I got into a situation where I would have these big ambitions, but my body couldn't keep up. And obviously, because I wasn't treating myself well. So then I went on a very long period of self-discovery and learned nutrition, studied holistic nutrition, studied to become a health coach, found yoga. And through all of that, decided, okay, I haven't lost my ambition. I just want to learn how to do this in a way where I can sustain my energy and actually fuel myself properly for everything that I have wanting to do in my life.
I love that story because I think it's real for people. And one of the limiting beliefs that I confront in my practice all the time, and I'm sure you see something similar, is that you can't be healthy and have balance. and advance your career and contribution at the pace that society demands at the same time? What do you say to those people?
I think that you need to make choices, and balance doesn't necessarily look the same for everybody. You know, balance might not be doing a little bit of everything in one day, but it might look like having periods where your main priority is your work and then kind of swinging the pendulum in the opposite direction and having more periods where your personal care is your main focus and your main priority, or it's your family or it's downtime or things like that. I think that when you get clear on your values and your priorities, then it's so much easier to look at what you've got going on and say, how am I going to make room for all of this? And how am I going to support myself every single day in that to be able to do the things that you want to do and show up as the best version of yourself? I think it's totally possible. We just need to be realistic about not being able to do everything 110% all the time.
Well, and I think it's sometimes the pursuit of that 110%. I talk about all the time with people that you're not going to level up your business or your life hanging on to the strategy of perfectionism. And that can often be a strategy that a lot of people find is successful through their academic careers. And at varying degrees of speed, people realize they have to relinquish that as they move into their professional careers. And that's often where I start with people, is really understanding where on that spectrum of perfectionistic pursuit they are hanging out. Where do you start with people when you are really trying to help them transition from that state of busyness? Because I think a lot of people recognize this is not okay. It's not sustainable. I'm not healthy, but I don't know how to let go. I don't know how to jump to this new way of doing it. What's the first thing you do? Is it mindset? Is it food?
It's mindset, because that is your framework. It's your outlet. That is what's going to frame any change that you're going to make afterwards. So we start by looking at values. I think it's really important for everybody to understand your value system. And when I say that, I don't mean things like I value kindness and honesty and, you know, qualities like that. I'm more talking about, you know, what are those internal unconscious drivers? You know, for me, my values are food, personal development, business, and health. And so when I have something going on in my life, I understand that those are my main things that I want to push forward in, and that I will unconsciously choose over other things. And so looking at the way that I choose things based on my values, it helps me to understand myself in a deeper way and say, okay, if it's a matter of, you know, do I do this or do I do this? If I understand how each of those things plays into my values, then I'm able to guide myself or to know which choice I would make. And so I help my clients get clear on what their values are, because I think that takes a ton of stress away when you understand what those key things are for yourself, because then you know that you're always acting according to your values and you can relate what it is that you're doing or need to do back to your values. So you feel that sense of fulfillment and accomplishment.
Yeah. And I love that you use the word fulfillment there. I've been on a real kick lately that there's a huge difference between the pursuit of happiness and the pursuit of fulfillment. And fulfillment being a much more sustainable state, but ironically, it's the same sort of biochemical environment that we see. And so, you know, in looking at that, once we've identified those values and we're like, okay, I understand what it's going to take for me to be fulfilled, when we actually look at that health piece, what's sort of that first step, that initial habit that you really work at getting people to solidify before you move on?
I usually start with breath. And I do that because our breath is our direct access point and control over our nervous system. And when we're living in a fight or flight, go, go, go state, having breathing techniques as a tool in our back pocket is so powerful to be able to gain our center back again, come back to center, calm down the nervous system. And then from there, we have more mental clarity. We have better access to digestion and assimilation of our nutrients when we take in food. So I think that is my real starting point with people.
And what does that look like? Because I think for busy people, they're like, oh, breath and meditation. And like, it's like drinking water. They're like, ugh, don't you have something cooler than that that I can start with? And I'm, as you're saying that, I'm like, of course, like that is the gateway. But when we're not in that world, we're always just like, oh, there's got to be another way. And I often find when I introduce breath to my busy people, I'm like, here's how you're going to do it in 16 seconds or less. Like, how do you approach the breath? And I'm not a yoga instructor, so I don't have the same reverence for it. But how do you get them to incorporate that breath piece in a way that they're like, whoa, this is influential on where I'm at?
I introduce people to something I call breath breaks. And it's where I usually say set a timer on your phone because that's the easiest way to remember, but you commit to at least 5 breath breaks in a day. And then this is time where everything completely stops for 10 breaths, where you sit down, you close your eyes, you get grounded and mindful, aware of your senses, and you just take 10 deep breaths. And it's not about meditation. It's not about doing this perfectly. It's about committing to completing the 10 breaths. And I started this practice for myself a few years ago. And the first 5 breaths, I was in resistance of even doing the activity. But the fact that I was committed got me to complete the next 5. And it's in those next 5 breaths that I was able to actually relax and release and come out of that feeling more centered and more grounded. And when I take people through this activity in my practice, they open their eyes and they realize that something has changed. Even if they don't understand that on a physiological level, they feel it and they know, okay, something is different. I feel so much more clear now and so much grounded and so much better that I think that is what fuels them to keep going with it. So really it's as simple as closing your eyes and taking some deep belly breaths.
Yeah. And what's so cool, I had someone on a few weeks ago and we were talking about heart rate variability and he has a company with a heart rate variability monitor we use in our practice. And we were talking about the vagus nerve and the parasympathetic side of our nervous system. And for people who are listening, this is the rest and digest side. And your fight or flight is the one, you know, if you're driving down the highway and suddenly there's sirens in the back of your car and you just have this like complete and utter panic, that's the extreme of fight or flight. And every time you actually exhale, it moves your body over to that parasympathetic state. We actually enable our body to move closer to that flow state. So like, you're right. And like really rapid adjustment, our body moves into this like complete relaxation state. So you do that 5 or 6 times throughout the course of the day, it's going to have a massive impact in terms of how your nervous system is feeling. I really love that.
Mm-hmm. And what it does is it trains your nervous system to go from that fight or flight to that rest and digest state easier. So you're building resilience. And that's what yoga does for us in sort of a longer, more drawn out practice, is it teaches us how to have that control over our nervous system and how to ground and calm after being in that fight or flight stage. This is just a very small way that's easy, it's accessible, it's free, it takes very little time, but we can have that same effect.
Well, and that's powerful personal leadership. Like if you think of yourself sitting in a boardroom and you simply with your breath, you don't have to leave, you don't have to say anything, you don't have to take some special pill, you're not drawing attention to yourself, you simply go back and control your breath, you completely shift your power dynamics within that setting. Like it's so much more sophisticated as a leadership tool. than, you know, some of these more primitive things we resort to, which is, you know, being angry or having these facial expressions or stealing control back from a group. Like, it really, it sounds so basic, but like, imagine the ramifications if you start to implement these things in a big way.
Absolutely. And I'm glad that you brought that up and that you recognize that. I like to teach these yoga tools and yoga principles as though they are the entrepreneur's secret weapon, because they are so simple in a lot of ways, but they'll give you that edge that, you know, we are often looking for, especially in leadership. These are the tools. You know, it doesn't have to be all hippie or granola. You know, I often refer to myself as a non-granola yogi. It's like, I love what the yoga philosophy and lifestyle can do for a person. And I wanted to take that and bring that over into the entrepreneurial world. And that's what I try to help people do, is use these tools in ways to give themselves that edge.
Take me through some of these other entrepreneurial ninja moves that you've got.
So the breath is a big one. That's a big starting point. Making time to connect with yourself. So I often couple this with the breath, and it's very simple mindfulness technique of just being aware of your senses. So usually I would say, close your eyes, notice if you're sitting in a chair, the feeling of your body connected to that chair, the feeling of your feet on the floor, notice if there's any aches or pains in your body, and just get grounded within yourself through your senses, because it brings you back to the present moment. So only one thing happening at a time in your mind when you're focusing on your physical senses and what's happening in your body. So that's one that I often pair with those breath breaks. Another one is having a morning routine. Making time in the morning to set yourself up for success in your day. And that, to me, encompasses a couple of different things. So it encompasses drinking water, making sure you're well hydrated. I do lemon water first thing in the morning, some kind of movement, even if it's as simple as doing 2 or 3 yoga poses, getting your muscles engaged or stretching out first thing in the morning to get your body ready for the day, you know, breaking the stagnation that we have overnight when we're sleeping and largely not moving. Then doing some kind of mindset work, whether it's journaling or writing gratitude, or maybe listening to something that gets you in a good mindset for the day. And then doing some planning around goals, you know, writing out your goals, and then expressing gratitude. That, to me, is a comprehensive morning routine that will set somebody up for success in their day across all aspects, you know, personally, spiritually, with your physical body, and then also in terms of your goals and the contribution that you want to make.
And if you're not able to do a whole routine in the morning, you're traveling or like whatever's going on, what is like the one thing that you're like, I never miss this?
Journaling. That is my one thing, because it's that continuous conversation with myself. Because when I journal, I stream of consciousness, right? So anything that goes through my mind is going down on the page. That allows me to build that relationship with myself first and foremost, so that I can say, have my back and know where I'm at as I go out into the day, and, you know, and things might be thrown at me, but if I'm connected with me, then that to me is, again, kind of that superpower to go forward.
Selena, take us through this system that you have, your calm system, which is a really sort of comprehensive overview and transition for people when they're going through that state of busyness, probably to that state of self-compassion. But take us through what some of those pillars are.
Mm-hmm. So CALM is an acronym. It stands for cultivate, action, level up, and momentum. And in the cultivate stage, this is where we lay the framework. So we look at breath, we look at connecting to yourself, and we look at creating time in your day, even if it's just 10 minutes in the morning that you can spend creating that relationship with yourself and setting yourself up for success for the day. So cultivate is that foundation piece. And then the action piece is where we start to take action based on that foundation. And that's where we start to move into things that are more around food, building energy in the body through nutrition, through yoga practice. And then after we take action, we want to level up. So it's like, okay, so you're starting to take these actions in your life. Let's build on that and let's start to grow that. And this is where more mindset pieces come in. You know, the idea of gratitude, of finding things that bring you joy. So, you know, we're not just monotonously moving through life. We are actually engaging with life in a way that brings us energy and brings us joy. And that helps us to reduce stress, to be in that flow state, to release the fight or flight state that we are often in. And then once we build on that in the level up stage, we want to create momentum and think more long term and think, okay, how can I create these habits in a sustainable way that it's going to carry me forward, you know, year after year, month after month, and celebrate our successes, you know, look at how far we've come in this process, in this journey, and think about what we want to bring to fruition next.
Yeah, I love that. And I really love the incorporation of the goal setting piece, because our physiology, it requires a North Star. Otherwise, we get caught in the overwhelm. We need to know that there is a direction. What is the end success of moving through that process look like?
I think of it as mastery over your energy system. So being able to manage your energy. And that comes in different forms. So it's, you know, the breath work and the yoga tools to be able to calm down, to maintain center, to maintain focus when you need to. It's also in terms of your nutrition, being able to fuel your body properly and to do that in a sustainable way. And that's a big piece. You know, it takes only a few words to say that out loud, but it's a very big piece, you know, looking at, are there things that you're bringing into your body that irritate your system? Do you have a relationship with food that's not supportive in you moving forward? You know, there's definitely a lot to dig into in terms of your energy around food. And then it's like you said, having that North Star, having those goals that you can work towards. And that's where the mindset piece comes in. So it's creating a lifestyle and habits for an individual that allow you to operate in the world as that best version of you by managing your energy on multiple levels.
Okay, so let's talk about this notion of fuel. Just from an overarching dietary philosophy, is there a way of eating that you really subscribe to, or do you just completely meet people where they are at? What's your approach in that respect?
My approach is whole foods. And to me, quality is the most important, first and foremost, whether you are a vegan or a meat eater, quality is definitely number one. And then in terms of the approach that I take with people, I work with both vegans and vegetarians and with meat eaters. And I more teach a framework around how we look at food and how we look at our macronutrients and build our meals that you can do no matter what you are putting into your body. and obviously focusing on quality, on things that are homemade, eliminating as much processed food as possible, eliminating excess sugars as much as possible. And a big one for people who come into my programs who are dealing with stress is good quality, healthy fats, because I think that's something that gets missed often in our nutrition, and is having whole food sources of healthy fats. So I guess to kind of come back around to your question, I kind of meet people where they're at and enroll them in my philosophy, which is what I just mentioned.
And how do we get people to start cooking at home? Like when we're, how do we jump across that chasm of I'm super busy and I've got my kids and I'm running here and I want to eat healthy, but like I just don't have 2 hours to prepare meals every day. What's the baby step there? What's the like, okay, just do this one thing?
I have a couple of tools, because I'm somebody who's like that too, right? Like I have a lot going on. I don't want to spend 2 hours in the kitchen every night. So what I've done is I actually created a cookbook of whole food recipes that are ready in under 30 minutes to show people how it is totally possible to make healthy food in 30 minutes or less and to use good ingredients. So that is a starting point that I often give people. But if you are looking to make a small step in the direction of making your own food at home, I would focus on healthy sources of protein, whether you are making vegetarian meals or whether you're making meat meals, but making sure that you're getting good protein. Carbohydrates, I feel like they're everywhere, and like we don't have a problem there getting in enough carbohydrates in a day. You know, the quality of them, though, making sure that we're taking in enough colorful vegetables and leafy greens, like that's where the issue tends to come in more with our carbohydrates. But often it's with the quality of protein that people struggle, and then with having whole food sources of healthy fat. So I think if you focused on that, the rest would kind of fall into place, is like making sure you're covered with a healthy protein option, and then that you're pairing it with some sort of whole food healthy fat, and that things would come together from there.
Yeah. And this is, I'm not going to tout this as a creative meal option, but we've just come through a really intense few weeks launching a new program on our side. And I respect the fact that if I'm not fueling myself properly and moving myself properly, we can't get through it. And so I would just every few days cook extra fish or extra chicken. And I'd get up in the morning, I would have greens in water and I'd have a little bit of that protein. And then midway through the morning, I'd have half an avocado, and it didn't take me any time to prep it. I would just go to my fridge and I would grab what I had already prepared. And I wasn't approaching it from the perspective of, oh, this is, you know, my Michelin star meal. It was very much, I'm going to fuel my body with real food that I can do very, very quickly. But this is really about getting me from point A to point B. And then I can go back to, like, you know, relaxing in the kitchen and having fun there again. But it was, I mean, it was bare bones, but exactly what you're talking about. Whole real foods, super easy. Because sometimes that's what you need. We talked about that right back in the beginning, right? Is that there's phases and seasons to balance. Sometimes it's intense and sometimes you have a little bit more time.
Exactly. And I think knowing and understanding what those building blocks are for your diet and also for your own personal health routine, it helps you to know and understand, okay, what's the bare minimum? Like what will this routine look like when I get fancy with it? And what's it going to look like on those days where I just need to do those non-negotiables so that I can get by? And you gave a really great example of that, of, you know, prepping your protein ahead and then having good sources of foods to add to that on the side.
I know. And my patients look at me sometimes, they're like, that is so boring to do that. And I was like, yeah, but sometimes it's just literally a matter of fueling your system so that you don't fall prey to all of the temptations that we have sitting around us through the course of the day that are just, you know, they're just screaming at us when our blood sugar drops at 2 o'clock in the afternoon to go grab your dream bar and your sugar-laden coffee. And if you fuel yourself accordingly, you're just not going to be as susceptible to those to those temptations. And listen, it's fun to have those kinds of things every once in a while, but it's a problem when you're trying to execute at a high level and your physiology is letting you down.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And to that point, I would say a great starting point for people would be to focus on breakfast. Focus on breakfast, get 20 to 25 grams of protein in your body first thing, first meal of the day, so that you can set your blood sugar up in a healthy way for the rest of the day. And getting that protein in the morning is going to help you to not have that blood sugar slump mid-afternoon. And it's going to also help to keep you out of the kitchen cupboards at 10 p.m. at night when you should be going to bed.
Yes, yeah, absolutely. Selena, these foundational pieces are just so key and critical to people's success. Is this the kind of thing that you cover in your Eat and Asana University program?
It is, yes. Yeah, I walk people through the calm system that I just mentioned and really help people focus on creating a lifestyle out of these yoga and nutrition principles so that they can have those secret weapons in their own back pockets for living their best lives.
I love it. And that's really what it's about, right? Is actually living your best life on your terms. We've all heard that mindset has a huge influence on our ability to be effective and amplify in this world. But what if I told you your brain biochemistry, literally the neurotransmitters that are existing within your nervous system, can help amplify your mindset or your capacity to be effective? They can help accelerate your mission in the world. More and more with both my coaching clients and my patients, we end up having a conversation related to our own ability to control our nervous system through the optimization of neurotransmitters. Now, what the heck do I mean by this? The foods that you eat, the way that you think, your interaction with the world has the capacity to increase things like serotonin or dopamine, some of these really important neurotransmitters to helping you be effective and operate at your best. After listening to literally thousands of conversations with my clients and with my patients, I pulled together a very quick checklist so that you could have a better understanding of the things you're doing every single day to amplify your nervous system or downregulate it in a way that isn't necessarily serving your mission. If you want access to this information and want to learn a little bit more about how you can optimize your brain health for success, visit meganwalker.com/brainhealth to grab your handout now. Now, back to our episode. I feel like this is a perfect place, Selena, to transition in the interview to the second component. And this is where I ask people about their KPIs or key performance indicators for how they live their life. So just like we have them with respect to our businesses and the metrics in our business, I think we've also got them in our lives as well. So I've got a few rapid fire questions to throw at you.
All right.
Okay, Selena, who is inspiring you right now?
This is one of my girlfriends. Her name is Mia Saint-Aubin, and she leads a fitness movement in Ottawa, Ontario. And she is, I call her secretly behind closed doors, I call her a mindset ninja, because I have just seen all of the work that she's put into building the business and the movement that she's building. And she totally walks her talk and has been a personal friend to me to pick me up when I've been down, and we tend to bolster each other. And she is in the season right now of reaping everything that she's sowed. And it's amazing to watch. It's so inspiring.
Oh, that is awesome. What is your audacious goal for the next year?
My audacious goal is to bring 100 women into my Eats and Asana University program and to help them transform their lives to be able to be to manage their stress and to be that best version of themselves so that they can do their best work in the world.
Beautiful. What is something totally badass about you that people would not otherwise know?
I don't know if people would consider this to be badass, but I do. I have a very active imagination, and I mean that in the best way possible. When I was younger, my dad made a point to really cultivate my imagination and to stimulate that in me. And I've seen in my peers, a lot of people, either that wasn't stimulated or cultivated for them, or they lost it somehow as they grew up into their adult lives. And that is something that is so alive and well in me. And I feel like that is badass, because I know that I can create my own world because I can think it up in my mind.
Oh, it's such a great skill, especially for an entrepreneur. Selena, what do you do for fun or play?
I try to bring fun and play into every little thing that I do in a day. I try to approach everything that I do as if it's an adventure. And that's a little bit of yoga philosophy, the idea of being in the beginner's mind, you know, seeing everything for the first time or doing everything as though you're doing it for the first time. So I try to bring that spirit into my life every day, and that keeps things fun and interesting. I love to sing. I love to travel and just be lighthearted and joke around with the people around me.
Amazing. And finally, last question for you, Selena. Entrepreneurism, are we born this way or do we learn to become entrepreneurs?
I love this question. I think we're born with maybe that spark or that sense of drive or inclination that makes us want to go down this path. But entrepreneurship, I think largely is learned. And I say that because there's a lot of effort that goes into, you know, building the thing, and then you have to sustain the thing. And that doesn't just happen. It's something that I know for myself, I've had to effort towards and skill build around. So I think it's a little bit of both, but maybe more on the learned side.
Selena Rose, so much great advice, especially for those busy individuals who are truly looking for the edge related to the work they put out into the world. Where can people go to learn more about what you're up to?
Well, my website, selenarose.ca, or connect with me on Instagram. My handle is @selenarose.inc. And I have a free gift that anybody who is looking to get started with managing their stress and up-leveling their energy, they can go to selenarose.ca/D-stress and download that there.
Amazing. And we'll hook everyone up with all of those links in the show notes. Selena, thanks so much for spending some time with us today.
Thanks so much, Megan, for having me. It's been great.
If you enjoyed today's episode as much as I did, I would love it if you could do us a massive favor. Head on over to iTunes and leave us a review. And if you are looking to acquire some of the goodies that Selena dropped in your lap, you can head to meganwalker.com/podcast/episode125. Have an amazing week, everybody.